Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to see all of you here tonight, and it's a beautiful day, isn't it? It's been nice to have a little break from that heat. Well, praise the Lord, and it's wonderful to be here tonight to have this opportunity to worship the Lord, to sing His praises, and that's exactly what we're going to do now. Yeah. But before we sing even one song, we need to pray. So I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer this night, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, asking that thy perfect will be done, asking that thy Spirit would move over us, O God, asking that thou would move upon us greatly with the mighty power of thy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that thou would perfect us and refine us as we worship thee and give thee our hearts. Change us, O God, to receive thy good things. Open our understanding and help us to embrace thy promises. Help us, O Lord, inspire us to truly give thee our hearts. And we ask, O God, that thou would preside over this entire service here tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, I feel like singing about the name of Jesus tonight, because there's no name greater. It is the name above every name. So why don't we just go ahead and start with number one in the hymnal, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all, bring forth the royal diadem and crown. Chosen seed of Israel's race, He ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown the Lord, and He truly is worthy of our praise and our worship and our hearts. That wonderful name of Jesus, there's none greater. Why don't we go to number 107 and sing Glory to His Name. Mm-hmm. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. To this fountain so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we have victory in Jesus. That's how we obtain the victory, through the Lord Jesus. There's no other way to achieve that victory but through the Lord Jesus, because of the victory He won for us on that cross. Why don't we go to number 294 and sing Victory in Jesus.
How a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and we do have victory through the Lord Jesus. In fact, why don't we go to the chorus book for a moment and sing number 77 in the chorus book. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. His great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. When we do have that victory, and you know, in that mighty name of Jesus, devils will flee. They might come in and try to bother you with whatever, but just start singing that song, and I guarantee you, they will flee. They can't stand it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what I'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we come before Thee this night, thanking Thee for Thy mercy, Thy grace, Thy goodness, knowing full well that we could not be here but by Thy mercy and Thy grace. And we thank Thee for Thy abundant blessings. We thank Thee for sustaining us, for keeping us here, for we know that we would be completely lost and helpless without Thee. We thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings, and we pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight. We also pray that Thou hast blessed those who are unable to give, and we ask for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy kingdom, for Thy glory. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it does feel good to worship the Lord. Honestly, when I first got here tonight, I was a little grumpy, but I feel pretty good right now. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one last song before we turn this over to Shirley, and I would just really like to sing number 178 in the chorus book, His Name is Wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. The mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Thank you. Glory to God. And His name is wonderful. Glory to God. Well, we will turn it over to Shirley. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you, Jesus. So, praise the Lord. It is wonderful to worship the Lord. And, you know, I just am so glad we know who He is.
Amen.
You know, we're not bowing to Allah or any other God. And you know, what a wonderful thing that He's revealed Himself to us. You know, we are blessed. We know Him. We can adore Him now. We can worship Him now. You know, we can stand in His presence now. And I praise the Lord. You know, it's let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, He's given us breath. And we can adore Him. We can worship Him. We can bow before Him. I just thank the Lord. I just really thank the Lord. You know, He's given us just so many privileges. And, you know, I guess I was just thinking of this little story before I really get into the scripture here tonight. But, when I was in Minneapolis a couple weeks ago, not even maybe, but anyway, I just one day I was on my way to go to one of the co-ops, Lake Wind Co-op, and there's a lot of construction going on in St. Paul, Minneapolis area right now. Just all kinds of highways are blocked off and all kinds of, you know, detours here and there. But anyway, So I know I'd gone there before, but I guess I kind of forgot what Tim had told me earlier, and decided to trust my GPS. So I just, you know, put it on, and it said something about reconfiguring there at the beginning. And so I just thought, well, it helped me out one other time when, you know, there was road construction and it got me through. So I just thought, okay. You know, I thought it would be okay. But anyway, so here I am. I'm going down the road, and I get to Highway 101 or one of those highways, and all at once the highway is completely closed. Just completely closed. And so, okay, I think, well, I'll just turn off and go down another road and expect that the GPS would redirect me. So I did that, and it just kept on bringing me back to the road that was closed. And I don't know how many times I just went around and just hoping that it would get me out of this. And it just didn't. It just didn't, no matter what. It just kept on bringing me back to the highway that was closed. And I really didn't know my way quite well enough to know just how to turn and get back where I needed to be, except that I could get back to the motel, I figured, which I did. But, you know, I just got to thinking about this. You know, I put my trust in that GPS, and I thought it would get me there. But, you know, it didn't know how. It just plain didn't know how, and I didn't have enough information in my own brain to know how to turn and how to get out of that. But yet I couldn't help but think how many people trust a priest or a pastor or a book or whatever and think that they're going to get to heaven by following that manuscript or that priest, that leader, that person, that TV evangelist or whoever. You know, they think that person's going to get them to heaven. And you know what? They might be following a blind leader. They might both fall into the ditch. They might not get there any way, matter how, any way at all. And I'm so glad we've got the book, we've got the Bible. You know, it has instructions in it. It's the Word of God. We've got the King James Bible. And you know what? If we follow it, and if we follow after the Lord, He knows how to get us home.
He knows how to get us there. You know, we don't have to trust, you know, a false prophet and you know, end up in the ditch, end up in hell. You know, it's going to happen to so many people because they've got confidence in something that is not right. They've got confidence in a leader that's going to take them down the wrong road. And boy, the Bible says they're both going to fall into the ditch. You know, we are so privileged. Yes, we know His name is wonderful. We know He's Jesus our Lord. And praise the Lord, we can submit our life to Him right now. We can give our hearts to Him right now. We can bow before Him right now. We can raise our hands to Him and worship Him right now. Praise the Lord. He's God. And He has saved us. He's redeemed us. He bought us with His blood. He purchased our salvation so that one day we can have eternal life and live forever with Him in heaven. Oh, I do praise the Lord. I do praise God. He has blessed us. You know, we just get little glimpses now and then of God and His goodness and His mercy. But, you know, we're going to be so grateful when we see Him and know that somehow He put it within us. He gave us the instruction. You know, He gave us, you know, the road map so that we could follow Him. Oh, wow, so that we can know this is a way, walking in it when you go to the right hand and when you go to the left. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful to the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be going to the book of Numbers here tonight, going to some old favorite spots, but Lord's been taking me here, so with His help, we're going to go here and see what He'll show us. I think maybe there's some new things that He's going to bring out here tonight, but we're going to be talking about faith, seeing through eyes of faith. And in the midst of this world where there's a lot of trouble and distress, I think there's a lack of faith. And, you know, so often we refer to that scripture, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? And, you know, I think there's a lack of it. Because I'm not seeing all the miracles that I want to see. I'm not seeing a great deal of people repent and bow before the Lord and surrender their hearts. I'm not seeing a whole bunch of devils cast out. And you know, not that I haven't seen some, and I've seen some good things. We saw some good things on our trip, and we've seen many good things here in this building here. But it's not nearly enough. It's not nearly enough. And I just kind of have a feeling that our faith is hindered in many, many ways, you know, because I know we serve a mighty God, and there's no limits to Him. There's nothing that He can't do, you know. But, you know, I know He said with His stripes we are healed. You know, we have these promises, you know, but I don't see enough of it. So I think we all need more faith, and we know without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, faith is that victory that overcomes the world. And, you know, without it, there's no way we're going to get to first base or anywhere near close. But praise the Lord, He can add to our faith. You know, there's times when they came to Jesus and they said, increase our faith. You know, and he did. He was faithful to do that. He knows how to give us more faith. And I know it's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's in the pages of these books. And if we can just give it all to the Lord, I know He can add to our faith. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Numbers, the 13th chapter here. Praise the Lord. Here we have this well-known portion of Scripture, I feel. Here they are. The children of Israel, and they've been following God through the wilderness at this point. He led them through a mighty miracle out of Egypt and across the Red Sea, and did many wonderful works for Him. Certainly God had proved Himself to them. But here they were. They were at Kadesh Barnea, and it was at a point where they could soon enter into the promised land. They were just right there at the door, so to speak. But there was a hindrance, a huge, huge hindrance. And we're going to go to this portion of Scripture and look at it here tonight and see what God will show us. It tells us in chapter 13 of Numbers, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And it says, And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And then it names them. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben: Shemua, the son of Zachar; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Paltai, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gedeel, the son of Sodai; of the tribe of Joseph, namely, of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali; of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Dabai, the son of Vapsi; of the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Machai. And it says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Josiel, or Joshua, as we usually hear him. And Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, or what land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage. Bring of the fruit of the land. And then it says, Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Okay, I'm going to just stop here a minute. It's God who has, first of all, spoken unto Moses and told him, this is what I want you to do. So this was by a commandment to God. It wasn't by a whim of Moses or anybody else. But God wanted him to do this. And of course, what he did is he chose out 12 men from each of the 12 tribes. And they were the heads of the children of Israel. And they were the ones that were selected to go into Canaan land and just scope it out. See what it's like, you know. Have a notion of just, you know, what they are to expect in the near future as they're ready to go in. And interestingly, you know, they're told to go in just where, you know, just go get you up this way southward and go up into the mountains. So that was the route in which they were to enter, and you know, they were given very specific directions, instructions, how to spy out this land of Canaan. Now, I think this is really interesting because I realize one thing here is God knows everything, and he knew, you know, what was in the land, and, you know, he knew these people pretty well. But yet, I feel like this was a test. I feel like he was testing them, you know, because the way they were going to enter, they were going to find giants there. And, you know, how are they going to react to these giants? You know, God's sufficient for every need, and, you know, he had enabled them, he called them, they've been going through the wilderness so that, you know, one day soon they could enter into the promised land. That was the hope, that was the expectation, that's, you know, why he'd taken them out of Egypt. He was taking them to that land of their forefathers, and so it was. But he was testing them. I really feel like he was allowing them to be tested as they went in to see, you know, just how they were going to, you know, see and believe. And so it is, it tells us here. It says in verse 21 here, So they went up and searched the land for the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, these were giants. The children of Anak were giants. And it says, now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And so, verse 23 says, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they buried between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they must have been just the most wonderful grapes you could ever have imagined, more than I can imagine, because they cut down a branch with a cluster of grapes, and it was such a big cluster of grapes that it took two men to carry it between a staff. That's how magnificent these grapes were. And I have a feeling those pomegranates and those figs were pretty nice too, pretty beautiful. It's a bountiful land. It truly was a land full of milk and honey. And so here they are. And verse 25 says, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. So after those 40 days were over, they came back. And they are to give the report. And you know, they're all ears, I'm sure, to find out, what did these 12 men find out? You know, what's the land like, you know? And here they are, this tremendously big cluster of grapes. And oh my, the wonderful pomegranates and the figs. And it says in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And, you know, you look at, they're all gathered. They're all eager to hear, you know, what these spies are going to say. So, verse 27 says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. There was evidence, and you know, it was verifying the thing that, you know, God had promised, that he would give them a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, a bountiful land, a beautiful land, a land where things grew very well, and you know, there was no hindrance in that way. Plenty of rain and sunshine and good soil and all those needful things. A land that floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But they saw a problem. Verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And besides that, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So this is the report. You know, it's a beautiful, wonderful land. But, you know, there's these people here. They're strong. They dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and they're very great. And besides that, you know, the children of Anak, the giants, they dwell there. And then they named all these other people, the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. You know, they all dwell there. And obviously, all they could see were the giants. You know, they forgot. You know, here they are, they're carrying the grapes, you know, on a big staff between two men, and they had the other evidence. And it's right there before their eyes. But obviously, the only thing they could see were the giants. The giants. The walled cities, the greatness of the cities, and the strength of these people. That's all they could see. Oh, how pathetic. Verse 30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Obviously, they just went berserk with this news. It was more than they could handle. It says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Somebody with faith. You see what faith does? You know, here's all these others. The other 10 are just, so dubious and so doubtful and so faithless and so hindered. And here's a man that has faith. You know, come on, this is nothing going. This is the land that God promised, you know. Oh, why are we hesitating, you know? What's the problem? We can go up at once, he said, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Obviously, Caleb had confidence in God. He knew God. He knew the ability that God had to help his people, to sustain them, to bring them out of trouble and to deliver them. Why, he'd done it how many times before? But such attitudes. It says in verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Like I said, all they could see is the giants. That's all they could see, the giants. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Oh, they had no faith, did they? They had no confidence in God. You know, it wasn't going to be by their own strength and power and ability. No, and God had helped them so many times before, but, you know, they had absolutely no faith. You know, they flunked the test. You know, God had allowed them to go in. They were told to go in by the south and go up into the mountain, and yes, they were going to see the giants. Yes, they were going to see them. But, you know, how were they going to handle it? What were they going to do about those giants? You know, were they going to, fall and, you know, go hide themselves and, you know, run away and, you know, just, you know, have no strength or show none at all? Well, that's what they did. They were blinded by the giants. They couldn't see. And I think so often, you know, this life that we live down here is a testing ground. You know, God does not tempt his people, but he does allow us to be tested from time to time, you know. And life is like that, you know. It may be one obstacle after another. It may be crazy little things that go wrong. Sometimes it's very heavy burdens. Sometimes, you know, it's despair, it's unknown, it's you know, seeking after, you know, what you don't even know, and you know, feeling lonely and despairing at times, and being persecuted at times, and, you know, having all kinds of things go wrong, and wondering sometimes how the battle's going to go. And I think often God's people only see the negative, just as these children of Israel only saw the negative. The good was there. They had God's promises. They should have known from what had already happened in their lives that God was well able to take them into that land. It had been promised to them. It should have just been instinctive for them to realize that God wouldn't expect them to do something that was impossible. God wouldn't just abandon them at their great time of need. But yet, that's all they could see, the negative. They just so much flunked this test that they were given, and they couldn't see. And I think just so many times, how do we allow those doubts to creep in our lives? You know, do we get to a place where that's what we're seeing? Just the giants, just the obstacles, just the hindrances, you know? Oh, God, you know, I can't do that. I don't have enough money. Oh, God, I can't do that. I don't have enough education. Lord, I'm not trained to do that. Well, God, I couldn't do that. I don't speak Spanish. Well, I couldn't go to Mexico, could I? I mean, you know, and sometimes it's like that. Oh, God, I don't have the health to do this. Or, the money, God, how in the world? You know how much I make. How could I do that? You know, but So often I think it is. In our own lives, we just see the hindrances. We just see the negative. And, you know, we just fall flat, you know, and that evil report, you know, the devil's good at that, you know. He just always wants to bring up the negative and, you know, make things seem impossible. Well, you couldn't certainly go do that, could you? You know, no. You know, you're just you, you know. You're like a grasshopper in comparison to that giant. Oh my, but we serve Almighty God. We serve the creator of the universe. You know, we serve a God that has all power and ability. And you know what? He's looking for a people that have faith. A people that say, like Caleb, hey, we are well able to go in and possess the land. We are well able to overcome them. You know, I don't think there was a doubt in his mind. This man had faith. And so it happened here. If we go to the next chapter here in Numbers, chapter 14, the people. It's remarkable to me. There's just a couple men here who have faith. It says in verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. All they could see was a negative. Oh my, here we are. They were ready to go in. They were right there at Kadesh. And you know, they could just have entered in a very short time. It was just, you know, a matter of a little while before they could have entered in and taken that country. But here they are. All they could see were the giants. And it's not just, you know, those 10 spies. It says all the congregation. They all believed the evil report. They all just, you know, responded in the same way. Where's the people of faith? Where's the people that say, I know my God, we can do exploits. I know God, he can heal, he can save, he can deliver. I know God, he can deliver us from bondage, from sin, from death, from hell, from poverty. Nothing is too hard for our God. But here's these people, the congregation, they lifted up their voice and they cried. And all night, it sounds like all night, the people wept. And then they began their murmuring. Oh, their murmuring. They were noted for their murmuring. And here it is. It says, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And here they are again. Oh, boy. Now the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. I'll tell you what, God heard their words, and words do matter. They were not showing faith, and you know, here they are. Would to God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God we had died in this wilderness. Well, you know what? They were going to die in the wilderness, therefore. God heard that, and you know, they're going to get their wish. God's going to see to it. And then they go on. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? Oh my, I don't think we better murmur against God. I don't think we better find fault with God. But here they are, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And boy, they're going so far now, they're conspiring to go back. It says, and they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Oh, they're going to go back. They want to go back. And here's Moses and Aaron. I mean, really, they were right there, right there. They could have gone into Canaan land. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Oh, there's a couple people here with faith. And I believe Moses and Aaron had faith. They're falling on their faces before all the congregation. Oh, Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. What are we going to do to this people? And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. You know what? I have a feeling it was the best of the best. It was a beautiful land, you know, and God had promised it to them. if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Oh, that's what faith is. You know, faith doesn't look on the negatives. It doesn't look at all the possibilities of this going wrong and that going wrong, and what if I can't do that, and what if that doesn't come through, and, you know, what if he turns against me, and, all the thoughts that conjure up in our minds, and, you know, the long trail sometimes, you know how the devil gives you a long, long list of negatives. But here, there are some men with faith, and they said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Oh my. I mean, we serve a God that can do all things, and, you know, he is in charge. You know, we're living in troublous times right now. We're living in perilous times, and I know sometimes, you know, if you start looking at all the possibilities and, you know, the what ifs, and you know, you see all the dangers, and you start worrying and you know, fretting and you just mumbling and murmuring about all of this. You know, it works against faith, doesn't it? We have a God who knows how to keep us. He knows how to sustain us. He knows how to tell us what to do. I mean, if we need to, you know, run to a mountain or a hill or a cave or something, you know, he can tell us. You know, he can direct us. He can lead us. You know, he can make us, you know, be hidden. You know, he can make us so they can't see us. Our God is great. And, you know, if their defense is departed from them, then, well, I'll tell you what, we serve a God that can do all things, you know. Then it's like, you know, they said right here, they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But these people had absolutely no faith at all. It says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. I'll tell you what, we've got an upset God right now. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? And I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they. And he's talking to Moses at this point. But, you know, Moses is really such an amazing leader, such an amazing man of God. Here again, and I don't know how many times he did this, certainly many times, he intercedes for these people, these rebellious people. I mean, a lot of people would have just said, okay, Lord. Oh, yeah, they would like to, you know, God to, you know, make something out of them. But Moses interceded for the people. He intervened on their behalf there. Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from amongst them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And here he is, he says, now I beseech thee, let the power of my God be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. There's Moses crying out for those wicked, murmuring, faithless people. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Look at verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Oh, you see what faith will do. There was another spirit about Caleb. He didn't fall into the pit of disbelief. He didn't fall into that. He didn't, you know, see just the giants and run with that. But he had a different attitude. He had a wonderful spirit about him, and he had faith. And you know, Caleb was a man that had followed God fully. In other words, with all the heart, the soul, the mind, the strength. He'd given it all to God. You know, it wasn't, you know, just a halfway thing with which he served God, but it was with his being. You know, he knew God. He knew God could do all things, and he didn't doubt God. He knew God's power. And, you know, he didn't let those doubts overwhelm him and take over and prevent him from believing God. But he had that another spirit with him, that other spirit with him, and he had followed God completely. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Oh, praise the Lord. And he did go into the land. He did go into the land. And you know, we're told when he was still 85 years old, he was out in the land, he was fighting giants. You know, that faith that was in his heart, he kept that faith. And he didn't give up. And he still, you know, he had it within him to keep fighting and believing God. Praise the Lord. And of course, we know the story that those that were 20 years old and upward were all going to die in the wilderness, every one of them. It tells us in verse 30, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save or except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But it says, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms, till your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And he shall know my breach of promise. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's what it was. You know, that's how it happened. You know, all those that were 20 years old and above died in the wilderness. They wandered around those 40 years, you know, a year for every year, or every day that they had searched out the land. So God judged them, didn't he? God judged them. But thank God for somebody with faith. You know, sometimes it's not very many people that have faith. You know, we know Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There weren't many people that were saved, you know, from that flood. Only 8 people were saved in that ark. Everybody else drowned. You know, with Sodom and Gomorrah, there was just, you know, Lot, his wife, his 2 daughters, they got out of there. And of course, we know his wife looked back. You know, it often isn't that many people that show faith. But praise the Lord, we've got to have faith. You know, without faith, oh, there's no way we can please God. And you can see how that negative spirit that prevailed, look how it affected all the others too. You know, those 10, they came back with that evil report. And in spite of the good report of Caleb and Joshua, the others all listened to that negative report that those 10 brought back. They all just chose to view the giants and think of them and forget about God's goodness and mercy and the bountiful land that He had reserved for them, that He had intended for them. Oh my, His precious promises. But how many times do people miss out because they just don't have faith? They just don't have those eyes of faith that go forward and believe God in spite of what might look negative, what might seem negative. You know, I just remember when Brother Tim and I were going to go to Mexico, we just, God had put that in our hearts to do that. And, you know, I really marvel. But, well, He gave me a dream. You know, prior to that, around that time, He gave me a dream. And in that dream, I just woke up and I had been in a little shop. I knew it wasn't in the United States. And I was in that little shop and, you know, looking for mugs. And I just knew when I had that dream that there was some meaning to it. And, you know, it's just amazing how God put it all on our hearts, and both of our hearts. And you know, when we saw pictures of Guanajuato, we just felt like God wanted us to go there. But we had to face a lot of giants before we could get there. We really did. You know, there were several people that just, you know, told us, you can't do that. It's dangerous, you know. It's, you know, you can't take your car there, you know. You know, there's all this violence and potential for terrible difficulties, and you know, you don't know what could happen, and you know, you don't know the language, and you know, we just heard so many negative reports. I mean, both of us did, from well-meaning people, you know, people that we love very much. And you know, it tried our faith. I can remember just saying, Lord, listen, if this is just me, if this is just a whim of my own, then please, God, you know, just let it stop. You know, I don't want to, you know, do something crazy, Lord. I don't want to end up in a Mexican prison or something, or God knows what else could happen, you know, or, you know, finally get caught of a plague or, you know, something, you know. And I can remember just, you know, talking to the Lord and saying, God, I mean, really, if this is just, you know, a whim of mine, just please stop it, you know. And, you know, it's really something. So, you know, it just kept on going forward, and, you know, it looked like we had, you know, the means to do it. And Tim wasn't backing down. And, you know, we were down in Texas and, you know, doing a little bit of work there for the Lord and talking to some people and being directed there, and you know, it was getting time to go down to Mexico, and you know, there we were. We were actually across the border. We got our passports and, you know, everything else, and here we were. We were just in the building, just getting all our documents signed and this and that, and then they told us how much it was going to cost for us to take the car down there, and it was, you know, a few hundred dollars, I mean, wow, that just really hit us hard. We weren't expecting that, you know, by any means, and oh my, we thought, oh Lord, maybe we just goofed, you know, maybe this has just been, you know, a mistake for us to even, you know, imagine doing this. And so for just a little while, we thought, we can't do it. In fact, we told them, oh, we can't pay that. You know, we just can't. You know, but The Lord began to deal with us, and we found some people who talked English, and they, you know, they explained to us that, yes, we would have to pay this fee, but when we got back, if we came back the same way and came to the custom office, that they would refund it, except for a small fee. And, you know, we just stood right there, and we prayed. And, you know, we felt that God gave us the faith and the confirmation that we needed to go forward and do it. And I'll tell you what, we would have missed so much if we wouldn't have done that. We would have missed, you know, the hand of the Lord working in so many ways. And besides, those 2,000 tracts that we passed out wouldn't have been passed out. You know, those tracts that God had allowed to be prepared for us all in Spanish, you know, there would have been no way to pass them out. Now, I mean, we saw the hand of the Lord, you know. We found out that whenever we had a need and there was some kind of problem, or we had a question, that God would just put somebody right there that could speak English and could direct us. And, you know, even, oh, wow, and going through, you know, Laredo and some of those towns there, I mean, wow, the rain falling down and not being able, as we got into Mexico there, to read the signs, but yet God taking us through and you know, leading us every bit of the way and giving us people that we could talk to, people that we could pray with. He gave us a taxi driver that spoke English and was touched by the Lord, and he could see God on our countenance, and just other people that, you know, we knew that God had sent, and besides of their eagerness to take the tracks. I mean, we never saw anything quite like that. You know, we could just pass them out left or right, and almost everybody took a track. In fact, sometimes they would ask us for a track, and we would see them coming back, reading it, you know, eyes intent. The little lady at the shop, perhaps that was the shop I saw in my dream. I mean, we saw her later. She was outside her little shop, and she was just sitting there reading the track. Oh my, the man with a stand outside who, you know, very poor, obviously, and you know, we went in there and bought a couple things, and you know, noticed that he obviously lived there and slept on this little cot-like thing that didn't look very nice at all, and, you know, realized the poverty there and all, but, you know, as we were leaving, there was this man, and he was waving to us. He had a mug in one hand and the track in the other, and he was just waving at us. And, you know, we just knew that God had allowed us to go there and mingle with these people and, you know, just do what we could for the season. And God went with us. God supplied all our needs. He even gave us a place to stay that was without any expense. You know, except she asked for $5 for water. You know, I mean, amazing things our God can do. Amazing, amazing, amazing things if we can learn to put our faith and trust in God. But you see what happens. You know, when people have faith, God can work with that. You know, he can lead, he can guide, he can direct. You know, he can make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way, you know. I mean, sometimes it might seem crazy to the carnal mind. But you know what? If God's in it, it makes all the difference in the world, you know. I mean, if God's directing us, yes, we can do it. We can go forth and we can take the country, you know. We can possess the land by Jordan, by the sea, you know, even though the giants be there. Our God knows how to give us the victory. There's nothing too great for him. Nothing at all. But these Israelite people had such a terrible, terrible time, you know, believing God and putting their faith in God. You know, in Hebrews, the third chapter, it talks about these Israelites. Oh, my. And it tells, just to read a portion of this, verse 7 in Hebrews 3, it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Canaan land was to be a rest. Yes, they were to go in it, and yes, they had to conquer the enemies. But after that time, they were to have the land. It was to be theirs, and they were to have peace and rest, rest from the enemies, if they only would have done exactly what God told them to do. And then this warning in verse 12 here, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? I tell you what, that's sin. You know, that murmuring, that complaining, that talk of stoning Moses and Aaron, that was sin. You know, that's, and I'll tell you what, sin doesn't enter into heaven. I don't care. God has made a way to forgive our sins. He's made a way so that we can come to him in faith and believe him and embrace his promise and go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, to have those sins taken care of. He's made a provision for us. And we're not to continue in those sins, you know? No way. God does not condone sin. You know, he made a way, and then he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost so that we could live in victory, so that we could be a witness, so that we could be a light. And of course, he did make a provision. You know, these things write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and for not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ, the propitiation, the price paid in full for our sins, so that, you know, if we goof and make a mistake and are hindered, we can come to him and ask him to forgive us. He's made provision so that we don't have to live in sin. Or we don't have to dwell in that state. We don't have to be so low as to live in that condition, that sinful condition. And these Israelites, oh, that's who God was displeased. He saw their disbelief, their unbelief, their unwillingness to have faith and to believe God at his promise, their continual murmuring and complaining and tempting him, and, you know, not believing his promises. I'll tell you what, that was grievous to the Lord. It was grievous, you know, and God saw it. And it says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. It was because they couldn't believe God. They had no faith. They didn't have those eyes of faith to see and believe that we are well able to go in and take the country. We're well able to go in there. Those giants, they're just meat for us. If we could just believe God and believe, you know, he's given this land to us. And God's not going to, you know, tell us, you know, this is for you, and then take it back. No, not if you've lived that life in victory, and you know you have faith, and you believe in him. So it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. It kept them back. It held them back. They didn't have those eyes of faith so that they could see. And so it is today. There's also a fear. It tells us in chapter 4 of Hebrews, lest a promise be left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, it's not going to be just hearing. There's got to be faith mixed with that faith. You know, it can go in one ear and out the other ear. That's not going to profit you then at all. There's got to be something that works in the heart so that you believe, and that so you embrace the promises of God. It says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, there was a rest. He rested after his labors in the creation. And then there's this rest. Canaan land was to be a rest. But then that didn't go as it should have at all. And then he speaks of another rest. It says in verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. It says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And it tells us, verse 7, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. See, that's what happens. Sometimes, you know, people hear, and they might even believe for a while. They might receive the word of God with joy. But, you know, those roots don't go down deep. You know, those trials are going to come. That time of testing is going to come. You know, persecutions are going to come. And you know, if there's not something down deep in the heart, you know, that person's going to fall. Those roots have to go down. We've got to be anchored in the rock Christ Jesus, or otherwise there's no way we're going to make it. You know, because the tempest is going to roar. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be attitudes. There's going to be, you know, family members, perhaps, that are going to come against us. Maybe our best friend, you know, maybe the whole world for all we know. But there has to be a resolve in our hearts, you know. There has to be determination. Even, Lord, if I have to walk this alone, even, Lord, if I'm the only one, God, I've got to hang on to your promises. I've got to stand on your word. I've got to believe you, Lord Jesus. And I you know, because there's something. I want to enter into that rest. I want to be set free. I want to be established in the Lord. And so it says in verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And Jesus said, oh my, in Matthew 11, all that are weary and heavy laden to come unto him. And he promised that he would give rest. He was promising a rest. He was speaking of a spiritual rest that remaineth to the people of God. And it says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost is that rest. When he gives us that Holy Ghost, we've entered into rest. We have rested. We have ceased from our own works. We give our own life to the Lord. We surrender it to the Lord Jesus. We ask him to take over and to be our God, and to guide, to lead us, to direct us, to instruct us, to give us what we have need of. And that Holy Ghost becomes our rest. You find that out when you read Isaiah 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Oh, so many people reject that rest. So many people don't want to hear it. But there it is. The stammering lips in another tongue. Will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Oh, the wonderful Spirit of God that comes to dwell in our lives, to direct our path, to give us hope, to lead us into all truth, to show us things to come, to help us to be a light in this dark world. The Spirit that was in Almighty God, the Spirit which the prophets desired, for God would come upon them. But with the Holy Ghost, he comes to dwell in us. And what a wonderful provision that is. Jeremiah 6:16 talks about it too. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Oh, he has a rest for the people of God, a rest. And here in Hebrews the 4th chapter, it tells us, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. It's all symbolic of how God rested after those days of creation, those 6 days of creation, and then rested on the Sabbath day. That's all rest. And then it says, verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You know, it tells us how all these things that happened to the children of Israel were written as examples for us, so that we might be admonished, so that we might give heed, so we might see the judgment of God when people do not heed, when they do not have faith, when they do not go forward. We see the judgment of God, how he judges those acts of unbelief. They could not enter in because they had no faith. And they had rejected the promises of God. They had rejected the counsel of Moses and Aaron. And it tells us how horrendous that is. You go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. It talks about, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And it tells us, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Tell you what, the Lord has called us out. He's put his Spirit in us. If he's sanctified us by his blood and by his Spirit, we better not count that as a light thing. We better take that seriously, because there's a warning here. There's a warning here that if we despise what Jesus Christ has done for us, there's actually no hope. If we count it as his blood as not being worthy, as being an unholy thing, a light thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace, there's no hope. There's no hope. But praise the Lord, we don't have to be like that. As chapter 10 here in Hebrews is ending, verse 35, it tells us here, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And yes, we're promised the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the earnest of our inheritance, is the down payment. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But yet beyond that, we have that promise of eternal life. So it tells us not to cast away that confidence which he hath given us, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. We rest in his promises. With our patience, we possess our souls. We stand there, realizing that God has willed this to his children, and that if we could just walk in faith, if we could just continue, if we could just go forward and believe the good report, that God will be faithful, that he will stand by us, that he will bring us through, that he will deliver us, that he will set us free, that he will drive the enemies far from us. And we have this promise in verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Oh, that is for sure. There is a day when our Lord is going to return, and no matter if, you know, everybody else forgets about him and thinks that he's not coming. Maybe it's going to be 100 years, and, you know, my Lord delayeth his coming, and, you know, starts to, you know, do the works of the evil. Well, I'll tell you what. That isn't going to bring forth salvation, is it? Because we know for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. That's absolute. It's going to happen. And then it tells us in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Oh, those eyes of faith that Caleb and Joshua had. Oh, they could see, they could stand on God's promises. They knew they could make it into Canaan land. You know, that God would be with them, that he would help them to fight the giants, and they would be delivered and set free and given the good land. So it tells us, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But it tells us, as this chapter ends, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. In other words, eternal damnation, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, the faith that God puts in our heart, that faith that we can rest in his promises, that faith that we can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that we can be sealed with the Spirit of promise, that faith that he has prepared good things for them that love him. Oh, that city where the Lamb is the light, that city where we're going, that city where there cometh no night. If we could just hang on to those promises and not be of them that draw back unto perdition. But praise the Lord, there's going to be a people. And I firmly believe this. You know, at times, you know, it seems like everybody else is going in the other direction. And yes, we're just a little flock, you know, but God's people have always been few. You know, just of the children of Israel, how many of them were really people of faith? Obviously, hardly none of them were people of faith. And so it is at this time period. We shouldn't be surprised if it seems like the whole world is going contrary and they're all, you know, harping after this and after that and looking for this and that. And, you know, their ambitions, their will, their desires are all in the world. But the just shall live by faith. You know, the things that are unseen are the things that we strive for. Those are the things that are deep in our heart. Those are our ambitions and our will. We're seeking a city which hath foundation, whose ruler and maker is God. We're looking for that city. And that's our hope. That's our ambition. That's our joy. We're going to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Just as he had no pleasure in those Israelites who drew back. Yeah, they were talking about stoning Moses and Aaron. They were talking about going back to Egypt. They were murmuring and complaining. It would have been better for us to have died in Egypt or even here in this wilderness. And God heard it. They were drawing back. Oh, they were refusing to rest in God's promises and go in and take the land that he had promised them. They were refusing. They were rejecting God. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that have rejected God right now and have gone contrary, put their faith in other things and, you know, compromised their standards, their thinking, their way of life, and allowed a lot of other things to edge their way in so that they're no longer living in faith. They're no longer showing that good faith toward God and drawing near to God. But we want to be those that do not draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And praise the Lord, you know, it's God who gives us faith. We've got to cling to it. We've got to rest in it. We've got to believe God. You know, he might ask us to do some strange things. We don't know. We don't know. These are perilous times, and we're seeing all kinds of things unfold. The things that we talked about for years and years are unfolding before our very eyes. But praise the Lord, there's something that we've got to keep in our heart. That's faith in God. Faith. Resting in his promises, holding on to the things that are good, those eyes of faith that believe God regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what anybody else is saying or declaring or what the newspapers put on or what the TV evangelists are declaring. There's a faith that he puts in our heart, hanging on to God's word, onto his promises, and knowing that we are well able to go in and take the land, to possess the land, to possess the promises of God, to go forward, to claim those things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are blessed. Praise the Lord. But we've got to hang on. We've got to believe God. We've got to have faith, you know, and that will take us through. That will take us through to that promised land. Praise the Lord. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our lives. And, oh, God, this privilege we have of opening up your word, God. I pray that you talk to hearts tonight. I pray, oh, God, oh, Lord, that you would help those that are struggling. Oh, God, those that are trying to hang on to faith and maybe doubting, Lord, what they can do next. But I pray, oh God, that you give them faith, Lord. Oh God, to believe you, to go forward. Oh God, to receive the good report. Oh God, to be of those that are faithful, Lord. Pray that you talk to hearts tonight. God, I pray that you talk to us, Lord, that you encourage us. You give us that strength that we need, God. And oh God, that resting in your promises, Lord. For they are yea and amen. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts. God, give us that strength. Give us that deepness. Put faith down deep in us, Lord. We thank you, God. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth and to draw nigh to you with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and being. Oh, God, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 29 in the chorus book. We are able to go up and take the country. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, and God will surely grant the victory. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, and God will surely grant the victory. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, and God will surely give the victory. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.